Lord, I just want to thank you for this just incredible man of God. Lord, I thank you that he's one who knows and understands how to carry weight in the spiritual realm. And Lord, we know that he's such a blessing and a gift to us as individuals and as a church. And Lord, I thank you that he says yes to you. And Lord, that his life has been hallmarked by just one decision to say yes after another. And Lord, it hasn't been without its challenges, but you have always proved yourself faithful. So this morning, Lord, we receive him as a gift to us. We pray, God, that this would be a word that takes root and bears fruit in the life of the church and beyond the four walls into our city, the nation, and beyond. And we bless him and honor him right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I walked into the office the other day, and it was a beautiful sunny day. And Nikki looked at me and she said, "It's not quite spring because Si's not wearing shorts yet." And this morning, as I got dressed, I made a decision that I would put on shorts and t-shirt and flip-flops and announce something to us as a church. We are in a new season. And it may feel a little bit like transition, where you start to sense that there is a change. Like, I mean, as soon as I got out of the car and the wind hit me, I thought, what am I doing wearing shorts and flip-flops and t-shirts? I'm like, where's my jumper at? But the thing is, regardless of what we see, we are in a season of change here in this church. God has a new season which he's beginning to call out for us. And I sense it every single time we come together. Every single time God brings us together as a people, there's this excitement and response from us as a body that says, wow, God's on the move. He's doing something incredible in our midst. And so I just want to announce the season of change. I want to announce it into the spiritual atmosphere of this place. The season is shifting over Skylark Church. We are going to inhabit a new season which God has for us as a people. You know, we start to see that when God speaks to people like he did this, like with the art at Seek. That was incredible. I was just so blown away by that. The testimony of Romania and all that God has done with, as people have said yes to him. I just sense that all around us, there's this testimony of God beginning to move us and beginning to just call us into the new thing. And for us to go, here I am, God. Here I am. Use me. Take me and use me how you want to use me, God. Whatever the cost, whatever the call, God, would you take me? So God, this morning, Lord God, there isn't any surprises in kingdom. And I thank you, Lord God, that this message is a message that heralds the new thing, that calls out this new season. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that you are doing a fresh thing amongst us, God. Lord God, and I pray that faith and hope arises in us, God. Lord, to receive all that you have for us. And I pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. God, let your will be done here in Chelmsford, here at Skylark Church, here in my life as it is in heaven, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to Romans 12, verse 1. I'm going to be reading from the Message version, because it puts things rather simply for me. Do you know what? Along with heralding this new season, I just think that with all these messages about thriving, I'm excited that you know, we're not going to have to like really push and really like, you know, really strive to be something, because God is calling us into this next season to be people who just stand and thrive and get hold of the things which have really cost the last generation, but we're able to stand in the fullness of that. So Romans 12, it says, so here's what I want you to do. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is for you. Turn to the other person next to you and say, wake up and listen to what Si is saying. Good. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you, and you'll quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. Here's a newsflash. You cannot do this thriving life on your own. You know, He wants your whole life. He doesn't want just part of it. He wants all of it. You're eating, you're sleeping, you're walking around life. He wants every part of who you are, everything that you want to give Him, everything that you don't want to give Him. But He wants it all. And He says, you can't do this in your own strength. So stop trying. Stop trying. Stop striving to try and give me everything when you're going to have to do this in my strength. It's God helping you to do this thing. I love that end of the verse. It says, God brings out the best in you. That's good. You know what? Because I believe that there's like this package of kingdom which lives inside of us. And God is constantly wanting to say, hey, more of that. Let me bring more of that kingdom out in you. Let me breathe upon that thing. Let me develop that thing in you. And the next part of it says, and develops. I mean, it's a present participle. So what happens is, you know, I can stand here and I can say it develops well-formed maturity in you. So I can say, I'm not there yet. I don't need to be mature. I may be 32 and still working with youth and hang out with a load of 11-year-olds. And that's fine because God is still developing a sense of maturity in me. I mean, I love to you know, throw water balloons at people when they're not watching, you know, or just, you know, run. Oh, this is cool. One day in the office, the office manager at the time, she was really heavily pregnant, kind of 8 months. And in my drawer, I found this fake blood, and I was thinking, oh, this is cool. And a knife. And I thought, oh, this is cool as well. So I ran downstairs with blood soaked all over my hands. And I ran down and I said, Undine, I've cut my hand. And she went white. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've induced labor. And she looked at me like, oh my goodness. And I'm like, I'm just joking. And walked upstairs. And it took her about 15 minutes to just get back to normal. So God is developing a well-formed maturity in me. On the other day, we dropped my girls off to school and did the kind of the commuting thing. And we pulled up to the traffic lights not far from our house. And beside me pulls up this amazing Ferrari. This car is worth, let me just read out this figure because it was too big for me. £156,420,000 worth of car sitting next to me. So I'm sitting there, Vicky's on her phone kind of doing some emails. I'm like, Vicky! And she's like, ah! I'm like, look at the car! She's like, I cannot believe you just did that to show me a car! I'm like, yes, but you don't understand, it's a Ferrari, it's amazing, look at it. And, in my moment of just staring at this thing and looking at it, it sped off and I realized that I was causing everybody behind me to have to wait at this traffic light. And something hit me in my head, and it was like this thought that this car, the potential within this car is that it can drive up to 200 miles per hour and it's worth more than many houses cost. And this guy is driving it to commute to work. And I thought, wow, that's a picture sometimes of us. We have this amazing call of God on us, this Christ in us, the hope of glory, this amazing plan and purpose which God has for our lives. And yet what we do is we use it to commute to work. We just get in it every single morning. We go, this is how I woke up yesterday. This is how I went to sleep. This is my life. This is how it's always been, and this is how it always will be. But the thing is, God made you, and he looked at you. He said, you are good. And he had a plan and a purpose for you. And he said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. God had a plan for you. And he put that plan and hope inside of you. And then he said, okay, now live. Go and do something. And we went, okay, cool. I'm going to just take this body. I'm going to just walk to work. I'm just going to do all the things which I do. And yet, we were meant to fly. We were meant to soar. We were meant to speed. Like, there's this amazing call of God upon our life, which is just waiting to break out. And somehow we've confined this call of God to our lives, to just going, it's about Sunday. It's about us coming together and just being here. But actually, God wants our whole life, and he wants all of it, and he wants you to realize the potential. The root word of the word potential is potent. There's a potency in the call of God upon your life, which is just waiting to break out. And so from that place, I got really excited. And I was like, okay, God, you know, this message which you've put inside of me is one that goes, how do we engage with the supernatural? How do we bring heaven to earth? How do we then stand in that place of bringing heaven to earth and thrive from that place? How do we take what's locked up inside of us and bring it out every single where we go? How do we turn that key in the ignition and fire up this engine which is able to take us hundreds of miles per hour in every single direction that we go? So I've got some great stories which I just want to read to you. If you're turning your Bibles with me to Luke 7, verse 11. Not long after that, Jesus went to the village of Nain. His disciples were there with him, along with quite a large crowd. And as they approached the village gate, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial, and the mother was a widow. When Jesus saw her, his heart broke. He said to her, "Don't cry." Then he went over and he touched the coffin, and the pallbearer stopped. He said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead son sat up and began talking. Jesus then presented him to his mother. They all realized that they were in this place of holy mystery, that God was at work among them. They were quietly worshipful and they're noisily grateful, calling out amongst themselves, "God is back, looking to the needs of his people." The news of Jesus spread all throughout the country. So in Jewish tradition, whenever there was a funeral procession, what would happen is you would leave whatever you were doing to join the procession. So you would put down your tools and your work for the day, and you would then join in to be one of the mourners. And Jesus, he had a choice. He walked up to this funeral, and he could either become one of the people who mourned, or he could switch the whole situation up. And what he did, it was something that was really countercultural. He walked up and he touched the coffin. Now, in Jewish tradition, any time that you touched that which was dead, you became unclean. But Jesus knew that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So he looked at that thing which made him unclean, and he reversed the flow. He touched that, and the thing that would bring uncleanliness to him, he brought life to. He turned the flow. He switched it up. And all of a sudden, this boy who was dead is now alive. Now let me tell you the nuances that so often we miss as well, is that it says that this mother was a widow. When her son died, it was confining her to a life of poverty. She now no longer was able to inhabit the family home. She was now no longer able to have the money which they had owned as a family, everything that her life had entailed up to this point was now gone. And Jesus' first response to her was, don't cry. In fact, he spoke to the whole of the funeral procession. He said, don't cry. And you know, there was these professional mourners as well that I think maybe they went to a funeral one day and thought, hey, I'm really good at crying. There might be a job in this. So what they would do is they would go to people who had just lost their, you know, loved ones or their part of their family and say, look, for a small fee, I will come to your funeral and I will cry as loud and as long as you want me to. I'm really good at it. Here's a sample. You know, here's track one. Track two is a little bit more kind of more mellow. You know, I just imagine that they've got this, you know, this amazing kind of repertoire of cries that they offered. And Jesus' first response was, be quiet. Don't cry. He went in and he touched that which was unclean and he caused it to be transformed. And in that moment, he gave hope again to a mother who was going to be confined to a life of poverty. He gave her son back to her, and all of us, like everything, is transformed because he knew that wherever he went, he could transform situations, flip them on their head, turn the world upside down. And you know what? It says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we walk around everywhere we go, and we have this Christ in us, this hope of glory. And sometimes we walk up to situations and circumstances that we don't know how to respond to, and we just get in line and we mourn at the funeral because we don't know that we have any power within us to do anything. But the thing is, Jesus knew that he could touch any situation, turn it on its head, transform it, breathe new life into it. Until he said it was done, it wasn't done. It wasn't finished. Not even death had its victory. Now we're going to switch to another story, of a story that you're probably all familiar with, the story of Zacchaeus. Now, if you hung out in church growing up, you probably heard about Zacchaeus, this short tax collector. And we're going to read from Luke 19, and it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The first point I want to pull out to you is the fact that Jesus was only on his way through. This was not his final destination. He was on his way somewhere else. And as he was on his way somewhere else, he had the wherewithal to be able to look up into trees and to see that there was somebody who had positioned themselves there for an encounter. He looked and he saw what was around him, and he went and he called him by name and he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house tonight. You know, it's an Australian thing, or maybe not, but we don't have any problems with inviting ourselves over for dinner. And, you know, Jesus, it's scriptural. So if I come to you later on and just say, hey, I'm coming around your house for dinner, you best be prepared. So Jesus walks up, he says, I'm coming around your house for dinner. And everybody looked and was kind of amazed. They're like, hold on, he's going to a sinner's house. How could he do that? We know who this guy is. We know that he's cheated people. He's stolen from people. Why would he go to that house? And Jesus spends this short amount of time. He doesn't tell us what he said or how he said it. Because otherwise we'd begin to form this theology of ourselves. Whenever we go down the park and we see somebody in a tree, we'll know exactly what to do, because in the book of Luke, there was this story. And we know how to get people in trees saved. No. Jesus spent this short amount of time with him. And what happened was there was complete transformation. Salvation came to his house. He paid back half of everything that he had, he gave to the poor. And anything that he had stolen, he gave four times as much back to the people. Transformation came to his house, and people were looking, going, hey, Jesus is at a sinner's house. What's going on? Jesus knew that he could touch anything, and he could reverse the flow. He could spend time in any situation. He could switch it up, turn it upside down. That, for me, looks like thriving. That, for me, looks like kingdom breaking in. And I know that as a church, sometimes we are so hesitant to want to put it out there. What will people think if they see me with that person? What, you know, if I'm at that party or if I'm having that conversation, what will they think? But I know that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Now, there's this transformation which is able to happen when we have Christ in us. Do you know, a few years ago, I got asked to begin to deliver the Naturally Supernatural talk at DNA. And I sat down and I just began to ask God. I was like, okay, God, what are some of the things that you do in me? Some of the stories which I have, which you've developed in me, of a way that demonstrates being naturally supernatural. And I, as I reflected over so many stories, I began to see this real theme that God was using me whenever I gave him the opportunity. And that, I think that's a really big point to make. Whenever you give God the opportunity to use you, he will use you. So I had this phone call just before Christmas. And, you know, he called up and he asked for someone called Steve. And I was like, sorry, mate, there's nobody called Steve here. He hung up, called back 3 minutes later. Hi, I'm looking for Steve. Is Steve there? No, still not. Still not anybody called Steve here, mate. I think you've got the wrong number. Hung up. A third time. Hi, Steve. No, it's not Steve. I'm really sorry. And this time, as we go to hang up, I say, all right, mate, Merry Christmas, God bless. Hung up the phone. And I was like, just as quickly as I could, God bless. Bam. And lo and behold, the phone rings again. This time he's not asking for Steve. He said to me, did you just say God bless at the end of that? I was like, yes, kind of. And he's like, wow. He started to just unpack this story of like how lonely he was and how broken he was. And he was calling Steve because he was really in need of some encouragement. And in that moment of just being on the phone, I was able to speak life and to invest some kingdom into him and to see that actually you can turn a situation which is just somebody accidentally calling you, you know, several times. And like sometimes I'm just that thick that I miss the point until he calls so often that I know that I've got to make that delivery or that impartation. And I think that so often we miss the things which God is putting in front of us at all times. We just get to the point where we're like, oh, You know, why is this person always showing up to speak to me? Why is it that that person is always calling my house? Because God is putting people in your path that you can begin to bless. You can show them what it looks like when your life thrives from that place of being naturally supernatural. You can just invest something of kingdom in there. You can switch it up. You can look like the world is upside down because God has a plan in every situation. You know, I listened to this story of a guy called Sean Bowles, and he's this prophetic guy, and I was going to show you a video, but I'll just tell you instead. He was sitting in Starbucks in Studio City in LA, and he felt like he had a word for a guy at the counter, and he walked up to the counter and he said, "Look, does the name John mean anything to you?" And the guy's like, "Nope." And he's like, "Are you sure you don't have like a friend or a cousin or a brother or a dog called John?" And the guy's like, "Nope." And he's like, he said at that point, he wanted to say that that he was a Jehovah's Witness and bless him and just go and sit down. But instead, he was like, "I'm a Christian and, you know, sorry for taking up your time." And went to sit down. And the guy said, stop. I've always wanted to ask somebody some questions about, like, if they've heard from God, if they think that they can hear from God, I'd really like to ask you some questions." And so they sat down, and 40 minutes later, this guy had given his heart to God off the back of a word which was wrong. There was complete transformation. I just think that for me, I'm looking at our situations and I'm going, "Okay, God, you are leading us into a new season. A season where if we're bold enough to step out, put our faith out there, just be a little bit crazy, just be a little bit daring to put your faith in the line and to be willing to be seen with people who maybe you shouldn't be seen with. But because you know you have Christ in you, you can transform, you can reverse the flow, you can turn it upside down, you can transform situations." I'm excited because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. Jesus instructed his disciples. He said, "Go everywhere you go and announce kingdom. Announce that something is changing. Announce." And that's still our job today. It's still our call to wherever we go to announce that the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, I'm excited for a time where we have to have multiple services because we can't fit all the new Christians that are getting saved from our community and our city. I can't wait for a time where we just see healings and signs and wonders as our normal bread and butter. It's just our normal. And I believe that that is a time which is coming. We're on the verge of something. And we've got to stand in that place and just go, "Here I am, God, send me. Here I am, God, use me. Make me a fool if you need to. Doesn't matter if I break tradition or break situations and circumstances. God, here I am. Would you use me?" So why don't you stand to your feet? God, I'm reminded of in Jeremiah where he's having that vision and God puts out a call and he says, "Who will go for me?" And Jeremiah steps forward and says, "Here I am, send me." God, that's the cry of my heart. Lord God, that you would look at me and you'd be able to use me in such a way that I'm ready, wherever you say to go, whatever you say to do, Lord God, that I'd be ready and willing to say, "Here I am, God, send me." And God, I pray that you would rise us up as a church, Lord God. Lord, you've put this amazing seed of greatness inside of us. Lord God, we were meant to fly. We were meant to bring kingdom wherever we go. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would thrive wherever we go, in whatever situation, Lord God, that we'd see your hand and your kingdom breaking in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you are here, And you, that sentence always feels weird if you finish it there, if you are here, because you're all here. If you're here and you've never met Jesus before, then I want to offer an invitation for you to meet him for the first time. He will turn your world upside down. He will take your brokenness and he will give you wholeness. He will transform you. And you know what? That's on offer to us this morning. And if you are here and you want to be able to step out further in the call of God upon your life, and you just think, hey, I might just be crazy enough to do this thing that Si's talking about. I might just be crazy enough to put my hand up to go to Romania. Or I might just be crazy enough to say, hey, God, here I am. I'm going to do more work in schools. I'm going to just turn up to work. I'm going to bring the kingdom with me. If that's you and you want to step out further, why don't you come up and just declare that to God? And, I'm going to invite the worship team up to just lead us. And if that is you and you feel like you just want to respond and say, here I am, God, send me. Here I am. Take me. Use me how you want. I'm going to invite the prayer team as well up. If you'd like to come and pray, that'd be cool. God, let your kingdom come. Break out in power amongst us, Lord God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that for Seek tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're going to come together as a group of people, Lord, to meet with you tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you show us your power and your kingdom breaking in. In Jesus' name.